ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news, transfer news. Lots to get into again. For the fourth day in a row, this international break is cooking in relation to news. We've got a huge interview from Harry Maguire. Very interesting around his future, basically making demands about playing time and why wouldn't he, but also, you know, throwing the gauntlet down to the board that it shouldn't just go to Carrick. You know, we need an elite management recruitment in the summer. And that's coming from Harry Maguire. I mean, look, I love Harry Maguire. I think I'd let him go. I don't think people understand that. I would let him go and I'll explain that. But as a personality, I think he does get it. As a player, I think sometimes it's not quite what you want it to be. But so, really interesting comments there. Also, we're going to start off, Diamande and Anderson, the talks continue, the race is on. And remember, at 2 o'clock today, we've got Ben Jacobs on the show with Beth. And I think we're going to get a couple of very big exclusives at 2 o'clock. So don't miss out on that. We might end up with as many as five, but I certainly think we're going to get two or three. But look, we start off with our morning show on the United Stand here, and we'll start off with an update from Fabrizio Romano. We've also got a little bit about Anderson as well, which we'll be able to adapt more on at 2 o'clock. We'll be able to tell you more about it at 2 o'clock. But this is what Fabrizio Romano has had to say this morning in relation to Diamande. And I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I've lost it. Here it is. Okay. Where is Romano? That's Maynou. Here we go. Manchester United have scouted Diamande numerous times this season. He is super appreciated by the club. At the moment, there is no indication of the fee that Leipzig will ask for. It will be a big fee considering how well he's doing this season. The race for Diamande is on. Liverpool, PSG and Bayern have all tracked the players. Now, look, Fabrizio Romano's job is to cultivate and, you know, effectively sell transfer stories to you. I don't mean like for money. I mean like, you know, that's his job. His job is like, you know, McDonald's sells burgers. Romano sells transfer stories and he's very good at it. And I think adding Liverpool and Bayern Munich and PSG in there, you know, helps Leipzig. But it's sort of contrary to what we've been hearing and have heard over the last few weeks. I think with Diamande, the race is on and there will be other candidates, but it's the advanced nature of United's race that is most appealing to the point where I think if United missed out on Diamande, I don't think they can just sweep it under the carpet and say we were never interested. It would be another loss. It would be another public failure, just like Semenyu was. I mean, let's not forget, Semenyu we went publicly for in the last week of December. He went to Manchester City and United lost. At that point, they turned to Diamande as the player they wanted and felt happy to go towards Diamande because he was a little bit younger. If they were to miss out on him as well, then it would be considered a loss. So I think Liverpool are a threat. I do. I don't know whether Diamande is the right fit as a replacement for Salah, but Gakpo's been crap as well. And, you know, I think Liverpool will look at Diamande. But there is that chance that Liverpool might not make the Champions League. And if they don't make the Champions League, then they're in that position where... And basically, the two things I can tell you this morning are that United are ahead in the negotiations on Diamande and are basically saying, what does it take to do this deal? Because United want to do the deal. Like, they want to get the deal done. And they can get the deal done based on the fact that they have good relationships with Leipzig. They have good relationships through Favel. They've basically got Champions League football. And what they want from Leipzig is the fee and Diamande's buy-in. The issue they're going to have is that some clubs that want him, i.e. Liverpool, can't really commit because they've got to replace Salah. And they've also got to see if they're in the Champions League, which they can't commit to at the moment. So Liverpool are sort of saying, we are interested, but we can't really do anything at the moment. So wait for us till the end of the season. Now, Leipzig are going, we'll wait. We'll wait. Don't you worry. We'll wait. We've got Man United here. We'll wait for Liverpool. We might get a bit of a bidding war. We might be able to get someone else in. And Diamande might be going, well, I'll wait as well because I want to know what all my options are. But United are pushing on this. If you're Man City, they don't wait, do they? Let's be honest. If it's Man City, players don't wait. They want to come to Man City. It's a little bit annoying, actually. And I was hoping that we might be able to get this deal done in principle over the international break. He wants to come to Man United. Leipzig want to sell him to us. Let's announce it at the end of the season and it's all done. We move on to the next one. It feels like it might be drifting towards, well, Leipzig, we want to wait and see who offers whatever in the summer, and Diamande wants to see who else is there. So it could end up being a bit more of a battle than maybe Man United hoped it to be, because, as I say, United have got the money, they've got the relationship, they want the player, and they pretty much got Champions League football. Other clubs haven't. So it's a watching brief on that. United have done a lot of work on it and they really do want him. They won't want to miss out on Diamande, but there is this issue where other clubs are sort of like going, well, we are interested, but we're not ready yet. And obviously the transfer window doesn't open yet. So Leipzig are in their rights to say, we're not going to do the deal. We're going to wait. So we'll have to wait and see on that one. More interesting, though, obviously, I think we'll get a lot more information at 2 o'clock. But what we've been told this morning is that Man United have held talks with Anderson through third parties. Now, similarly, we did this with Conor Gallagher in sort of November, December time. Obviously, we didn't follow through, but similarly, we are doing it again with Elliot Anderson. Now, you remember Fabrizio Romano on Friday was saying that Manchester City are in advanced talks. And we were like, well, it's only a matter of time that United step into these talks with Anderson, because obviously Man United have been telling the whole world for the last 8 months that they want Elliot Anderson. You can't just say, we want Anderson, he's the top priority, and then Man City are in advanced talks and you sit there and go, ooh, they're talking to someone we want. So United aren't in advanced talks, I don't think. I'm hoping that at 2 o'clock we'll find out a little bit more. They're not in advanced talks, we don't think, but they've certainly registered their interest with the people that matter. Now, not Nottingham Forest. This is not about negotiating with Forest. This is about what clubs do. This is what Man United do. We get the buy-in from the player before we go to the club. Man City are obviously pushing very hard with Elliot Anderson. They would have signed him in January if there was any indication that Forest would sell. They wanted a hat-trick of Gehi, Semenyu and Anderson, and they would have done it. That didn't happen, but they are pushing very hard to get this deal done. It's been like what Man City are doing with Elliot Anderson is exactly what Arsenal did with Declan Rice. Remember, people thought United were in for Declan Rice. When you read about what happened with Declan Rice, Arsenal were in on Rice months before. They were selling him the project. They wanted him. It wasn't like Arsenal came in late. They were there very early saying, you're the player we want. We don't want anyone else. Similarly, I think Man City have done the same. They wanted to get him in January. They're having the advanced talks in March. They are basically saying to Elliot Anderson, we're not messing about here. You're our priority midfielder. We want you. And that's going to be very difficult for United, because I don't think United have done that. I think they've done it through the press, but I don't think they've wined and dined him in the sense of like advanced talks early on. However, we have apparently registered interest and said, look, we do want Elliot. And before he signs for Man City, we would love to have talks with him. Now, whether that's going to materialise or not, nobody knows what the Elliot Anderson camp is thinking about his future. Is he destined and he's got a heart set on Man City? Is he open to Manchester United? But apparently Manchester United have registered interest and want to hold talks with him. Now, whether those talks have been held or not, it could be fast moving because of what Man City's had. But I think look, if we don't get Elliot Anderson, people are going to say we lost out to Man City anyway. We have made it very clear to the likes of David Ornstein, Fabrizio Romano, Ben Jacobs, every other journalist around Man United has said that Elliot Anderson is a top priority of Manchester United since September. If we don't actually hold talks with him, everyone will just say we lost to Man City anyway. So United have got to try. And as Savage says, we have to try. And I think ultimately, I and many of you probably don't think we can do it. I just need to do something. I am not in a full kit. I can see people in the chat. I'm not in a full kit. Look, I'm not in a full kit. I keep seeing people saying, is Goldbridge in a full kit? I'm not in a full kit. And before anybody starts saying I'm funding the Glazers, I have a red one and I have the black one. And the reason I'm wearing it is I've got to go straight out after this stream today to film something. And they wanted me in a Man United kit. And I've worn the red one before, so I'm just wearing the black one. So it's literally end the stream, go out in this top that I was given. I didn't buy it. And I didn't buy that one at the back either. But whether I did or I didn't, it's not going to get the Glazers out, is it? Not buying a Man United kit is not going to get the Glazers out, by the way. Just the breaking news. You not buying a Man United kit is not going to get the Glazers out. It's a personal choice. And I know Terry doesn't do it. And I 100% respect it. But not buying a Man United kit will not get the Glazers out. Tell you what will get the Glazers out. Somebody stepping forward to get them out that the fans can support and boycott and do everything that's needed. But until there's a viable alternative, we won't get the Glazers out. Anyway, so look, positive news about Anderson that we're in the race. Positive news about Diamande. We want that Diamande deal done. I mean, this is old news. We were talking about this a month ago. Man United would do Diamande like we did Memphis Depay. Like Memphis Depay was announced in late March, early April, if I remember correctly. We would announce that deal. United would love to announce that deal. Contrary to what you think, Man United aren't stupid. They know that if they could announce a deal early, it would be huge. I mean, I've not heard it from anybody, but if you think about it, we're not playing, it's the international break, so we're not playing for a couple more weeks. United love news. If they could announce a deal in this March international break, they'd do it. And I'm not saying that they will do that, but they would like to get that Diamande deal done. But this is the positive side and the negative side. As I said, if United could get that Diamande deal done today, I think they would do it. But Leipzig are going to go, why would we do it? Someone else might offer more than you. And Diamande is going to go, why would I do it? I might want to speak to somebody else. So, and this is the problem. This is the problem we face. I know we're not good enough in our recruitment department to do what Man City do, where they can get players tied up very early and don't stress. We have a lot to do this summer and not a lot of time to do it in. And that is why, over the last few days, I think we have seen so many players linked to Manchester United, because I think we're probably speaking to a lot of people. And also, remember, a lot of agents will be ringing us up. You have to understand that in the football industry, it's not just Man United ringing people up. You will be offered players, good players, by agents who are busy as well. I want to get into what Harry Maguire said, though, because I think this is going to be the most interesting part of the show this morning. Triple deal, Diamande, Rahm, Lukeba would be great, says Melchert. Thank you very much, pal. Even if Enrique comes, I don't think he's going to get more than 5 signings, and he would probably want more than 8. This is a joke. Wilcox must get fired, says Salah Mohamed. And Will Bomb says, hi, Mark. Would you take Anderson and Bruno G or Tonali, but Carrick and Steve Holland get the job? Or we have Belabor and Wharton, but Enrique get the job? What are your thoughts? I think Enrique getting the job will. I mean, these are hypotheticals. I know I threw one out there last night, so I can't say that. But no, I would take Enrique. And on the previous point from Salah saying that if Enrique only gets 5 signings, he probably wouldn't want more than 8. I think 5 signings for Luis Enrique or Michael Carrick or Nagelsmann wouldn't be great, but you know, they'd all be, whoever gets, they're all, ultimately, do you want Carrick with 5 or Enrique with 5? I mean, there's still a better manager there, isn't there? Which leads me on to this. I thought this was a very, very interesting interview with Harry Maguire. We'll talk about maybe his finish to the season and what he wants, because I literally said this would happen with Maguire. He's basically saying he's got offers. He thinks it will get sorted out, but he's not here to just sit on the bench. He wants to play. And that's my issue. If you know Harry Maguire is not going to sit on the bench, so the question you have to ask, and I think we've got a poll going as to whether you'd give Harry Maguire a new contract, The question is not whether you're giving Harry Maguire a contract to keep him around because he's a good lad. Are you giving Harry Maguire a contract to start for Man United next season? Because that's what he wants to do. And that's what he's being offered at Everton and AC Milan or wherever else. They're offering him a starting place in their team. Man United fans need to realise the question is not, do you want to keep Harry Maguire around because he's a good lad with a, you know, a great work ethic and it'd be great to have on the squad like Johnny Evans. He wants to start for Man United. So the question is, if you want Maguire to stay, you are accepting the chances are he's going to start because that's what he wants to do. He's not, I don't need Harry Maguire to say it and I'll read what he said in a minute, but you should know that. Harry Maguire is not going to sign a contract at Manchester United to earn money and sit on the bench. He will want to start. His England career was over and he's back in the England squad. So he will not sit on the bench willingly. He will want to play. And that will be part of him signing a contract. So if you want Maguire to stay, you must want him to start because that's what he will want to sign the contract on those terms. But the big thing I wanted to say is, and he's done an interview, and I forgot about this about the international break. I wouldn't be surprised if we get a Bruno interview at some point. You forget that the players, when they're away from Manchester United, do interviews, are allowed to do interviews, and sometimes do quite revealing interviews. So it might be the first of many over the next few days. So this is what he had to say. He said, look, in relation to Manchester United and Michael Carrick, we've got to finish strong. And I think Carrick should go right into the mix of the other candidates for the permanent job and let the process begin. I'm sure it will do, and I'm sure it's going to be a thorough process. I think this is absolutely superb. I very rarely take notice of what a player says because a player will follow the club line, the PR. You know, we've all heard the cliches from players. But occasionally, you do get really interesting bits. Like, you know what Cunha said a few weeks ago about the reason he came to Manchester United was Ruben Amorim. And what we got in the last international break from Bruno Fernandes about the board wanting to force him out. Those interviews are always very interesting. And a lot of the time they happen away from the club because they're not under the club's PR.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Recently, our company's softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
So Maguire saying this while he's away on England duty, I think it's brilliant. And I think it puts pressure on the club because he's not backing Carrick. What he's saying is, I think Carrick should go into the mix of the other candidates and let the process begin. And I'm sure it's going to be a thorough process because it's going to be a big summer. So what he's basically saying is what I and many of you have been saying for the last couple of weeks is, if you're going to give Carrick the job, make sure you interview the best candidates with him. Don't just give him the job like we did it to Ollie. So if you've got Harry Maguire, a starting, experienced, senior player at Manchester United, saying, yeah, Carrick should be considered, but you've got to interview top candidates and do a thorough process. I mean, that's really great because United might ignore the fans. They might ignore the players. But if the players are thinking it and the fans are thinking it and the club don't do it, it shows you there is a general feeling in the dressing room as well as in the fan base that if you're going to give it to Carrick, you better bloody interview some other people as well first. And I think it's a great comment because you might expect a player to say, Michael's doing a really good job. I think he deserves the job, which we've heard Rooney say and we've heard Rio Ferdinand say. But in relation to Harry Maguire, a serving Man United player, he's not saying don't give it to Carrick. He's saying he's done a good job. But what he's saying is he deserves to go into the mix with the other candidates and let the process begin. So what Maguire's basically saying is, and I agree, is what Carrick's done as an interim is really good. Probably can't trust it because interims tend to do quite well. But his reward for doing well as an interim is he gets an interview. And that's right. His reward for doing well as an interim shouldn't be he gets the Man United job. His reward for doing well as an interim should be he gets considered for the job. And I think that's a very, very good analysis. Because I think some people think, oh, Carrick's at the wheel. You know, he's won a few games. We're going to be in the Champions League. Carrick's at the wheel. Get the pen, get the paper, sign the contract, right? No. The reward is you get considered for the job. The reward is you get interviewed for the job. That's what the reward should be, and I think it's absolutely spot on. He also goes on to say, it's going to be a big summer. We need bodies in, bodies to help the squad. We know that. We need improvements in the squad. It's going to be a big recruitment in the management department, and I'm sure that the hierarchy will get it right. So it's not, you know, the first bit was good. The second bit, in a way, is even better. Harry Maguire saying we need signings. We need signings to help the squad. We need improvements in the squad, and it's going to be a big recruitment in the management department, and I'm sure the hierarchy will get it right. Well, look, he's got to say that. He's employed by the hierarchy, but in a way, I think he's putting pressure on the hierarchy, saying this is a big management recruitment. You've got to get it right, and also it's a big summer where we need bodies in to help the squad. And I don't, obviously, he hasn't said any more than that, but my interpretation is, obviously, we need bodies. We need players bringing in 5, 6, 7, 8. Sounds like steps. And also, we need big improvements in the squad. And I think this is about what we've been talking about, that you look at Newcastle, they've got a good team, but have they got a good enough squad? United need to be back in the top 5 or 4 next season and do well in the Champions League, which in our current state, I think we'd struggle with. So we need recruitment. Also, we need a top manager. I mean, it doesn't get discussed enough, but if you give this job to Carrick and Steve Holland, what experience have they got of getting into the top 5 of the Premier League whilst navigating the Champions League? I mean, you're literally giving it to work experience people. It's something they don't know what to do. If you bring in a manager that's done it, see what I mean about experience and inexperience? It will be very difficult next season. And what I'm saying is there's almost a ready-made excuse if we fail, but we can't afford to fail. So if you gave that job to Iriola, who's never managed in the Champions League before, and he comes in and we finish 7th and we're back in the Conference League and we're 7th, if people are saying Iriola out, there's almost an excuse there to say, well, they brought in a guy that's never managed in the Champions League before. He's never managed like midweek and at that level, midweek and weekend, and we want to sack him for it. Obviously, he was going to need time to adjust. It's on the board. But the reality is, when you think about it, we can't afford that scenario. We can't afford the, oh, it's their first season, so let's let them off. We can't afford in a year's time to be back out of Europe. We have to be in the Champions League this time next year. So can you take a risk on a manager that's never done that before? Or do you go for a manager that knows how to get in the Champions League, or more importantly, knows how to manage in the Champions League and domestic league? So I think that's a big call. And I wonder, I mean, I don't know whether Maguire's thinking that, but it makes me think that if you give an inexperienced manager the job, they have got a ready-made excuse if they fail to say, well, it was my first time. That's on the board. We can't afford the inexperience because we need to be back in the Champions League in a year's time. Therefore, don't recruit a manager that is going to have that ready-made excuse when they go, well, it was my first try, I'll be better next year. We need somebody that goes in and has the experience. And that's going to be the challenge, I suppose. More interesting quotes from Maguire, but let me just have a sip of my tea. Only and ever says we need to move heaven and earth to get Enrique. T.W. Wolf says, give Harry a one-year contract with a salary of £10,000. Axe Wood says, could Cunha fall into a number 10 if Bruno goes next season? He'd have to. Cunha would have to be the Bruno replacement, yes. Harry on 1126 says, do you think if the club gives it to Carrick and he doesn't get backed and he gets sacked, do you think it would be the end for these owners? I think we've predicted and eulogized the end of the Glazers for a very long time, and they do continually survive, unfortunately. Comment from the chat. Hi, my name is Oscar and I've just turned 13. Please could I have a shout out as it would make my day, says Gabrielle. Shout out to Oscar. Why are you not at school? Might live in a country where it's not, it's evening or morning, but anyway, shout out. Thanks very much, pal. Thanks for watching. Will says, at the moment we struggle with fatigue to play once a week. We have no squad depth to any good level. How do you think this will work out next season with Champions League games as well? I think it's like what Harry said. Will, I think it's exactly like Harry said. I think we'll struggle if we don't bring a lot of players in. United guy says, if we get into Europe, we need a quality centre back, and I don't see a lot of people talking about it because De Ligt and Martinez are very injury prone. Will Bomberg, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you for getting your badge in. I don't think that we do need to move. I don't think we need to categorise De Ligt as Martinez. Martinez has had two significant injuries in the last couple of years and is now injured again. De Ligt has had one bad injury. We don't know what the reaction to that's going to be. Marcus Rashford had a bad back injury and is absolutely fine now. So a back injury is it's not like your knee. It's not like your hamstring. It's not like your ankle. Back is a very strange injury to have a football player. I mean, look, it could be a career ender for De Ligt. I'm not getting any sense that it is. There was even talk that he might be back before the end of the season. I think once he's over this, he will be okay. So I'm not too worried about De Ligt. Martinez worries me a little bit because even this injury, which wasn't very minor, has kept him out for basically 6 weeks. So, which is probably why they're going to keep Maguire, which we'll come back to. I'd prefer Njea over Diamande. Cheaper also, says Rory. I don't think it will be cheaper, Rory. I actually don't think there'll be a lot of difference between the price of Njea and Diamande. Diamande, I think, is going to be 60, 70 million pounds. And Njea, mid-20s, Everton player, they're not going to let him go for cheap either. I like Njea, but I think Diamande might be the more exciting deal. You know, he could be... I'm not a big advocate of learner drivers, but he is playing in the Bundesliga regularly and doing very, very well in a team that was a little bit like us last season, Leipzig. They didn't even get into Europe. And at the moment, they're fighting for top four and he's their best player. So I don't mind buying... Look, I'd buy Almada from Cologne. I think he's going to be an absolutely brilliant player. I mean, you name me teenage players that you would sign and I'll give you a few, but... Learner drivers for me are players that I don't think are right for United. Like a winger, we've got other people that can play on the wing. He doesn't need to play every week. Midfield, Belaba terrifies me. He's playing shit. He's young. He's inexperienced. That's not what we need in midfield. We don't need a learner driver at centre-back either. I would want a centre-back. Or we don't need a learner driver at left-back either. So it depends on who that player is as to who... whether their age is, you know, a learner driver or not. Done that. If Anderson goes to City, would you be happy with Tonali, Garner and Scott? Also, Bruno stays and Maino is going to sign a new deal. I'd be very happy with that, Raj. I mean, I think Anderson will go to City. It'd be a very pleasant surprise if he didn't, but I think he will go to City. So I'd be over the moon with Tonali, Garner and Scott. As though for those three, I'd be absolutely static. Big game for Ireland tonight, says Damien. Yeah, don't forget, we're live at 7 tonight because we're live at 7:45 on That's Football. Get on the World Cup vibe. Playoffs tonight, Italy, Northern Ireland. Ireland are playing, I think they're playing Czech Republic. Wales are playing Bosnia. We'll have it all covered. If we bring an experienced manager, what would success mean? Winning the league, staying in the Champions League? La Familia. TW Wolf says, I meant to say 100 grand a week for Harry Maguire. Yeah, I think 10 grand a week, you wouldn't get out of bed for that. I think a successful season for Man United next season is to get back into Europe. I don't think we're challenging for the title next year because this team can't challenge for the title. So you're saying let's go from title, a team that's nowhere near the title, to title contenders, totally dependent on a good summer transfer window. So I think next season is about getting back into the Champions League. France are playing Brazil as a friendly tonight as well. We'll get that on as well. We'll get multi-screens on. It's going to be one of those. I love Carrick, but I'm scared to death of another failed project. I pretty much think that's my sentence as well. And as I said a few minutes ago, why would you go for an inexperienced coach when you need experience? We need somebody that knows how to deal with the Champions League and the Premier League. And unfortunately, some of the candidates we're looking at are inexperienced. I wouldn't go there. Thank you very much to PX. And surely the charges towards City will come to an end by the end of the season and could be a factor in the Anderson race. Maybe wait for the World Cup, says Alan. I mean, you never know. It would be a turn up for the books. You never know. You don't. It's not beyond the realms of possibility, I suppose. Let me talk to you about what Harry Maguire has had to say about his... he had some interesting things to say, but this is what he had to say about staying at the football club. So, context to this, would you give Harry Maguire a new deal? 45% of you are saying yes. 55% of you are saying no. Now, listen to what Harry had to say, because I think this is quite interesting. He said, My preference is to stay at Manchester United. I love the club, but it's got to be right for me. It's got to be right for the club as well. I don't want to stay on sentimental value. I want to stay because I want to be there and the club wants me to drive the club forward. And they feel like I've got a big part to play. If that's the case, then I'm sure we'll sit down and reach something. I think that's a demand from Maguire. And I respect it. I haven't got a problem with this at all. This is grown-up talk. This is not like, you know, he is not wrong. But when you read what he's saying, I'm not staying here to sit on the bench like Johnny Evans. You know, I'm not staying here to not start games. If I'm staying at this football club, then I need reassurances that I'm playing. I need reassurances that I'm a massive part of this first team. I need reassurances that I'm going to be a big part of this team. And if that's the case, we'll reach something. On those terms, I don't give him a new deal. I completely agree with him, because if he goes to Everton, I think he starts. And if he goes to, you know, Crystal Palace, he probably starts. And if he goes to the Serie A, he probably starts. But he is absolutely spot on. I've got no problem with Maguire saying that. Absolutely, I respect it. I admire it, you know. He's 33. I think he's 33. I always say 33, but he might be coming up for 33.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found Nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Yeah, he's 33. He's had a lot more injuries in the last couple of years than he's ever had in his career. If you look at his injury record in the last couple of years, up until 2022, he'd only had a handful of injuries in his career. Since 2024, groin injury, muscle injury, calf injury, thigh problems, couple of knocks. He's missed, since 2024, he's missed 10, 11, 17, 21, 32 games in 2 years with six different injuries. We know he's picking up more injuries. He's 33, he's picking up more injuries. We saw against Bournemouth that lack of pace in a back four. The question Man United need to ask is he a starter for Man United? And for me, he's a bench player. When everybody's fit, he's a bench player. But Maguire doesn't want to be that. He wants to start, and I don't think he's a starter. I don't think he's good enough to start for a team that wants to go places. I think under Carrick, our defensive line has gone very, very deep. You can watch the games back. I think we play a deep defensive line. I don't think we play a high defensive line. And that's why we counterattack. You're always going to counterattack with a deep defensive line. We need to play a higher line. If you look at teams like Man City against Arsenal, their defensive line's on the halfway line and they're smothering them and they can't get out. So for me, it's not as simple as should we keep Harry Maguire? It's the context. He wants to start games. Does that suit where we want to go? I think Maguire as third or fourth choice centre-back for another year isn't a bad idea. I think Maguire starting games two times a week next season in a back four is a bad idea. So I don't think he's a starter anymore. And I don't think he's happy with that. But if he signs the contract, that's because Man United have made him happy, which means they're offering him a first team place, which is a mistake. But the reason they'll be doing that, money. It's cheaper to give Harry Maguire a new contract because you save money than it is to sign a new deal. Maguire's actually going to save us money by staying because we're going to reduce his wage. So Jason Wilcox goes to Sir Jim Ratcliffe and says, we need a centre-back, but look what I've done. We're paying Harry 190 grand a week. We're now paying him 100 grand a week. I've saved us 90 grand a week and we've still got a centre-back. So I think they'll do it on a financial point. Man City would never do this. Arsenal would never do this. Liverpool would never do this. Chelsea would never do this. They won't do it on money. They'll do it on talent. And I like Harry Maguire. I admire Harry Maguire. And I think he's absolutely spot on saying he wants to play. But I've seen better players than Maguire be let go in their 30s because we need to move on. And I've seen Man City do it with Silva, De Bruyne, Kyle Walker. It's not disrespectful. It's not saying they're crap. It's just saying now is the time to move on. United have always been terrible at this. But I respect the fact that Harry Maguire has detailed why he will stay. He will stay if he's a big part of the first team. And if he signs that contract, that means United have told him he's a big part of the first team. And I think that's risky. That's risky based on his speed, his age, his injury record, and what we're trying to build for the future. My prediction for the midfield signings this summer is Belaba, João Gomes and Fernandes, all under 26, Premier League proven and easy to get, but also not good enough. That's not a good summer, Marlo. I mean, it's three, and I think it would excite people to get three, but there's a hell of a lot of if, buts and maybes in there, isn't there? United Nick says, great comments from Maguire. I agree with everything he said. However, he said, if he's our main centre-back, I can't see how this progress is going to happen next season, says United Nick, especially if Luke Shaw's at left-back. Forza, welcome to member... Oh, no, Forza's gifted 5 memberships. You're a legend, sir. Thank you very much for that, if you got one of those. Tech Empire says, is Estevao possible, Mark? Wasted at Chelsea. I think Estevao is an incredible player. Oh. I don't think he'll leave Chelsea after 1 year, but I think when he clicks and they keep him fit, he's a fantastic player. I don't really understand sometimes when he's fit, when he's on the bench, but I think it's because of his defensive capabilities, but he's a brilliant player. I think the only player that's likely from Chelsea, and I say likely in the loosest sense of terms, is Cole Palmer. Interestingly, I wanted to just bring this in as an observational point. So he spoke about Amrin, Harry Maguire. But before we speak about that, he said this. What system do you prefer playing in at Man United? Now, this surprised me. But then again, I don't think Harry Maguire is stupid. And I thought, is there a little bit of personal PR here? Because Tuchel plays a back four and Man United play a back four now. Because he said, I prefer playing in a back four. When you're in the middle of a back three, people think you can't move and that you're protected, which you are. But I've always said I'd rather play in a back four. I feel I can be more aggressive. I'm a defender who loves duels. In a back three, especially centrally, you're more cautious, playing almost a libero role. And you won't step forward with the ball as much, which is a big part of my game. I think this is bollocks, right? I think Harry's a very clever person. And I think he knows England play a back four and he knows Man United play a back four. So it would be disaster PR to say I prefer to play in a back three when neither Man United or England play it. So I think this is personal PR and very clever. And I applaud it because he's basically been asked what he prefers to play in, a back three or a back four. if he says a back three, he's almost championing the former Man United manager at the detriment of his current situation where England and Man United play a back four. I think Harry Maguire played his best football when he played for England in a back three. And I think he played well for Amrim in a back three. But he never played central. He always played right side or left side. I don't think Maguire's a central centre-back anyway. So I personally think Maguire's better in a back three because he doesn't get exploited for pace. And he does have freedom to go forward if he's not the central centre-back. And I know sometimes he played the central centre-back, but if you're not the central centre-back, you can go forward in a back three. And also, he doesn't get done for pace. So I think Maguire's better in a back three. I don't think he's better in a back four because he's too slow. And you get left one-on-one. And yeah, if it's an aerial ball, you back him to win it. But if it's a ball in the channel, he'll get exploited. If you think about the Newcastle goal, the winning goal, he can't get back. And if you think about the Bournemouth goals, you know, he's slow on that as well. So I think Maguire's better in a back three. But I understand why he's saying he's in a back four, because obviously he's playing in a back four at the moment. Also, he had this to say about Ruben Amorim. He said that... he said the formation must have made a difference because the results before were not good enough. I don't really have much bad to say about Ruben Amorim. I really like Ruben. I think he's got great ideas. The ideas just didn't work at Man United. I do believe he'll go on and have an amazing career. It just didn't click. And I think as players have got to take a lot of responsibility for that as well. I mean, I just think all in all, it's a really good interview from Harry. You know, it puts demands on the club to buy players. It puts demands on the club not to just give the job to Carrick and recruit properly, and you know, a top-class manager. And it also takes responsibility for the Amorim failure squarely with the players. Because when you look, I mean, look, I don't want to go back to Amorim. Maguire's mentioned it. But when you look at us under Amorim, we created more chances and had better XG than we do under Carrick. It's a fact. We did create more chances per game under Amorim. And we had a better XG under Amorim. But something wasn't right. The results weren't happening, were they? And I think ultimately, I've said this a few times and I stand by it. And I think we've seen it in recent weeks again. As a squad, our IQ in a footballing sense is very low. When Ranić came in, they couldn't play the Ranić system. When Ten Hag came in, they couldn't play the Ten Hag system. When Amorim came in, they can't play the Amorim system. And now, under Carrick, we're back doing the only system we've ever been able to do, which is the Ollie system of sitting deep and countering and relying on moments. And that's what we're doing. That is what we're doing. You know, you can call it what you like, but we have seen this before. It's sit deep, counter. And that's the only system these players seem to be able to play. And when I say players, I don't mean individual players. I mean collective dressing room. Because if you go back to Ranić, it's a lot of different players than what it is now. But Maguire's right. You know, it didn't work under Amorim because the players can't play the system. And it didn't work under Ten Hag because they can't play the Ajax system. And it didn't work under Ranić because they can't play the Ranić system. We are very limited. And what worries me is that the manager may always get the blame. But fundamentally, is it low IQ players or is it low IQ coaching? And you've got to have that debate yourself. But ultimately, we've consistently failed under numerous proven stylistic managers. And I think Maguire's right. I think the players have to look at themselves and take responsibility for their inability to do anything else other than play counter-attacking football. And that's been a problem that's plagued us for years. We just cannot do anything other than sit deep and counter. And we're very good at it. We're very good at it. And look, people will say, well, what about Man City and Arsenal? You're telling me we didn't counter Man City. We literally soaked pressure and exploited their high line in inexperienced defence. Against Arsenal, we countered Arsenal and we scored two worldies that we would really struggle to do it again. Like, Dorgu's goal was incredible and so was Cunha's. So Arsenal and Man City were brilliant, but they were counter-attacking. The difference is we had more intensity in those games. We were quicker in the way that we moved the ball and the way that we pressured. We've lost that over the last few weeks, but it was still counter-attacking football. So I think Maguire's absolutely spot on. I think there is this issue, certainly, there. Just on the XG, by the way, XG of Amrim was 0.62 per game this season, and Carrick's is 0.54 per game on the XG. So it's look, the problem under Amrim was that we were top three in chances created, shots on goal, but couldn't get in the top four. Beth came out with an eye-opening comment yesterday. Says Nick, our two starting left and right backs have been at the club since 2014 and 2018, respectively. What other club with any sort of ambition does that? Yeah, I do agree, Nick. I think when you look at Luke Shaw has been here for 12 years, Delo's been here for 8 years. I mean, look, I like Delo, but he shouldn't be starting. I think Delo, and I don't want to disrespect John O'Shea, Phil Neville and Wes Brown because they're on a different level, but that team was on a different level. So let's do context, right? You go back to successful United teams. John O'Shea, Wes Brown, Phil Neville, they weren't really starters. They were, you would say they were a bench player. They would start games, but you would say they were bench players. And they were really valuable. But you probably wouldn't start them in your ideal 11, but they're really valuable players. So Delo, for me, where we are at the moment, I would have him as that type of a player where he can be a left back, a right back, you know, if you get injuries. The problem with Delo is that he starts games, and I don't think he's a starter. I think he's a bench player. And I don't mind having him as a bench player, but I think that's what he is. But Luke Shaw, I mean, again, it's much worse than the Maguire situation with Luke Shaw. I mean, I just think he's been crap for weeks, and it was laughable that people thought he should be on the World Cup plane when you think that, like, Mitchell at Palace is better than him. That's Luke. You know, Luke Shaw's not better than Mitchell at Palace. To think that he's better than Lewis Hall or Nico O'Reilly is incredible. So we definitely need a new left back. But I don't know how many months has Luke Shaw got left? How many months? How many years has Luke Shaw got left on his contract? I feel it's only one. I mean, whoever gave him the bloody contract in the first place needs a slap. Yeah, we gave him a contract in 2023 when he would have been injured. Yeah, his contract expires next year. So he's going into the final year. Luke Shaw won't leave because he's on good money and no one will pay it. So he will be here next season. But he needs to be sat on the bench as well. My fear is they'll go, let's not get a left back till Luke leaves and we'll use him next year. That would be a very big mistake in my opinion. Definitely. Let me come back to the chat. Mazraoui is at the club. As Andre says, Mazraoui is at the club. And I think he's a very, very good player for Manchester United and a player that should be playing more. I mean, what surprises me a little bit about Michael Carrick is that, you know, he doesn't start Sesko. Let's be honest. I don't know why. Mbeumo's not played well. In fact, on that one, very quickly, we're not starting Sesko, which damages his confidence, to start Mbeumo, which is damaging his confidence. It's like a double whammy. Like, Sesko suffers from not starting and Mbeumo suffers from starting up front. The obvious thing is, put Mbeumo on the wing where he'll be happy and put Sesko up front where he'll be happy, and you're not damaging two players. It's like a two for one. We're damaging two players by playing Mbeumo up front. But the big one as well is Mazraoui. I mean, when Newcastle, when we played, who was it we played? Was it Palace? It was Palace. When we played Palace at home, they were all over us. They were killing us down the right-hand side. Remember Luke Shaw went off because he didn't feel very well. We brought Mazraoui on, and at that point, Palace had about 60% possession and they were killing us down the right-hand side. We took Luke Shaw off. We brought Mazraoui on. It went up to 60% in our favour and we played a lot better. But He doesn't seem to rate Masraoui either. I don't know what it is. Look, I've been told things about Steve Holland. Nothing bad, but like I've been told things about Steve Holland that he's a very basic coach and he'll do basic things. So maybe picking Luke Shaw and Dalot, maybe he knows more about those players. I don't know what it is, but it seems a little bit strange that we go for them over Masraoui. Sports analyst says United are in third position and that's the only thing that matters. Well, you're a very baseless, thick fan then, Nate, because it's not all that matters, is it? Because we're talking about next season. We're talking about a manager. We're talking about transfers. I don't think that's all that matters at all. Because if that's all that matters, that's the mistake Newcastle made, isn't it? We're in the Champions League. That's all that matters. You're not anymore. Spurs, we've won the Europa League. That's all that matters. Not anymore. It's about next season. It's about next season, mate. And if you haven't picked that up in the last 45 minutes, then apologies. Okay, a couple of other things. Carrick is Southgate in disguise, is boring and reflects how he sets the team. Boring, says Melvin. You know what? I don't think there's a problem with Carrick. I said this yesterday. I don't think there's a problem with Carrick. I saw it with Sir Alex. You look at Sir Alex when he had Carlos Queiroz in charge, and you look at Sir Alex when he had Rennie Mullinstein in charge, and you look at Sir Alex when he had Steve McClaren in charge. All those teams played differently. But people said it was a Sir Alex Ferguson team because he's the manager. I think Michael Carrick is a little bit unfortunate. He's not unfortunate because he chose it. But by going with Steve Holland, I think he went for a safe, pragmatic pair of hands to help out. The problem is if he gets the job, he'd have to give him the job. And I think Carrick could be so much more with a different type of coach. Unfortunately, the coach he's gone with is like a PE teacher, isn't it? It's just very... You can see it. It's well organised. It's not very exciting. It's England under Southgate. But I don't think Carrick's Southgate. I just think the similarity is the assistant coach he's got. And you know what? If you have an Audi and it's silver and you spray paint it black, it's still the same Audi, isn't it? So if you've got Steve Holland in an England tracksuit, and you put him in a Man United tracksuit, it's still Steve Holland. He's still coaching the team. It makes me laugh that people try to say, well, what about at Chelsea? Chelsea was a decade ago. He's been at England for the last 7 years, and now he's at Man United, and we're playing very similar to that. But what was Carrick supposed to do? He was offered the job, he went with that, but the problem is if you give him the full-time job, you're going to get Steve Holland full-time, and I think that's the problem. Keeping real 4-2-1 says Carrick interview starts the day we lock up for the Champions League. Melchett says Nagelsmann's system is quite rigid and complex too. I think it's complex. I don't think it's rigid. I think he's quite an adaptable coach. But look, my biggest takeaway this morning is what Harry Maguire said. And he said quite a lot of things that Carrick should go into the process for the manager job and then it should begin. It shouldn't end with Michael Carrick. And I think that's absolutely spot on. And if the players are thinking that, the club bloody better do it as well. Thanks everybody for watching. Why not give Steve Holland credit, Mark? He's saved our season. I give him credit for getting us into the Champions League. But remember, when they sacked Amorim, he didn't get sacked on results. We were 3 points off. I think we would have got it anyway. It's debatable, but I think we would have got it. Especially when you think about we didn't have Mbeumo and Ahmad and Bruno over that Christmas period and we were still 3 points off fourth. I think we would have got it anyway. So that's point one. Point two, just because we get Champions League football with Steve Holland doesn't mean I want him to get the job for the next 3 years. I would rather say, thanks for what you did. Goodbye. So there we go. And anyway, thanks to everyone for watching. Goodbye. I will see you. Well, don't miss the 2 o'clock show, Ben Jacobs. It's going to be an absolute cracker. We're going to get some big updates around Anderson and a few other bits as well. And don't forget, it's a 7 o'clock show with me tonight because I'm watching all the World Cup qualifiers on That's Football and Brazil France. So we'll be live on That's Football for that later. Take care, everyone. Stay safe. I'll speak to you in a bit.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found Nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.